First Peter chapter 1 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1311, 1311. We'll be reading the 3rd, 4th, and 5th verses, and we'll read the verses in unison. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Join me, please. Ready? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And let's pray. Father, we rejoice to be yours. We rejoice to be in this place. We rejoice that we're privileged and free to hear thy word preached. Blessed preacher, help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now this morning, would you please give me your attention quickly? We do not have much time. We will go perhaps 5 minutes to 7 minutes longer than our usual time of closing the sermon. It'll not be lengthy, but I do want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Mercy is what cures love's back trouble. Mercy is what cures love's back trouble. Please, everybody in the house, for just a few minutes, would you give me your undivided attention? Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning you'd speak to our hearts and make clear and plain the great plan of God. Thank you for that great psalm, yes, yea, several of them, that say over and over again, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Ah, that's wonderful. Just to have mercy for one time, but to think it always will endure. Bless, I pray, our discussion today. In Jesus' name, amen. May I have several thousand. I have an idea there are 7,000 people in this building or in the hallways now. May I have every mind for a moment focused on one theme. The most overlooked word in the list of God's qualities is mercy. Much has been said about the love of God, and well it should. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. The love of God certainly has not been afforded too much attention. Much has been said about the grace of God, and well it may. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, grace that is greater than all our sin. And grace deserves every accolade it's received, and every bit of praise that's gone its way has found grace deserving of its attention. Much has been said about compassion. The compassion of God. The fact that God suffers, passion meaning suffer, com meaning with. God suffers with us. And certainly the fact that God, deity, would suffer with humanity, and that perfection would suffer with imperfection. and that strength would suffer with weakness. Certainly, not enough can be said about the compassion of God. However, not much is said about, are you listening, about the mercy of God. For example, how many songs do you know about the mercy of God? Have you ever heard a song called The Mercy of God? Wonderful Mercy of God? Wonderful Story of Mercy? You may find a few lines like Mercy there was great and grace was free. But you'll have a hard time, Brother Ray, finding many songs that deal with the mercy of God. Yet mercy is the strongest of all the words and the strongest of all of God's attitudes toward man. Let me give you quickly, listen to this. The word mercy is a very simple word, which means to bend, to stoop, or to bow. And it implies to bend or stoop, or to bow, to lend aid, or to give help, or service to someone. A mother stoops to tie the shoe of a son. That's mercy. The father stoops to help the son back up when he's fallen. That's mercy. The mother reaches down and picks up the child who's fallen and hurt himself. And that's mercy. Now, granted, apart from love and grace and compassion, there would be no mercy. God stooped to earth because of His love. God stooped to earth because He had compassion. And God stooped to earth because of His grace. But all three of these may exist without mercy. Now, mercy may not exist without love. And mercy will not exist without compassion. And mercy may not exist without grace. But grace can exist without mercy. And love can exist without mercy. And compassion can exist without mercy. Mercy is all three of these in action. Mercy is love in action. You love until you bend to help. You have compassion until you bend to help. You have grace, so you bend to help. Mercy is the fulfillment of all three. Mercy is compassion bending to help. Mercy is love stooping to feed. Mercy is grace bowing to strengthen. Mercy is what compassion and love and grace all want to do but cannot do alone. Which means that mercy is the strongest of all the words. But love says, I'd like to help. But when love helps, it becomes mercy. Compassion says, I feel you're suffering. I'd like to do something about it. When it does something about it, it turns into mercy. Grace says, I have a plan to help you. But when it executes that plan, it becomes mercy. Mercy is love in action, grace in action, and compassion in action. God's compassion looked at us and hurt with us. God's love wanted to help us. His grace permitted Him to help us, and His mercy stooped to help us. God's compassion hurt for our condition. His love wanted us back. His grace arranged a plan whereby He could take us back from our sins, but His mercy carried out the desires of compassion, the commands of love, and the permission of grace. Compassion wanted mercy, and love demanded it, and grace allowed it. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. Now moved to what? Moved to mercy. He saw the multitudes. The compassion moved Him. And because of that compassion, He stooped, He bent, He bowed, and that became mercy. Now, I want to say this morning, I thank God for His wonderful love. I thank God for His wonderful compassion. I thank God for His marvelous grace. But all of those would have been to no avail to me had it not been for His mercy. For His mercy brought Him from heaven's glory to heaven's earth's glory. His mercy brought Him from heaven's mansions to earth's ghettos. His mercy caused He who was rich to become poor, that we, through His poverty, might become rich. The incarnation of the Son of God was started by His compassion and propelled by His love and permitted by His grace, but He was executed by mercy. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. And while you thank God this morning for His love, and while you praise God this morning for His compassion, and while you exalt God this morning for His grace, you jump up and down and click your heels and say, thank God, His grace became active, and that was mercy. And this morning, I say, thank God for His mercy, which caused the great, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords to stoop to become flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, that's grace in action, which is mercy. That's love in action, which is mercy. And this morning, mercy is the greatest of all of the attributes and feelings of God toward men. Now listen carefully. His mercy, now don't miss me. His mercy was made possible by this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according unto His abundant mercy hath He begotten us again into a lively hope. Now get this. How did mercy beget us? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Mercy was paralyzed until the resurrection. Mercy was frozen and helpless until the resurrection. Hear me carefully now. By the way, let me say this. The poor resurrection. I feel sorry for the resurrection. It gets so little attention. Calvary, that's wonderful. But the resurrection. Now I want to say this. The resurrection was a part of Calvary. It was a part of the cross. It was the last movement of the cross. Not one time in the Bible did Jesus ever speak of the cross without speaking of the resurrection. It was all one bundle. It was all one package. Christ lived. He died. He rose. He died for our sins. He rose for our justification. And so without the resurrection of Christ, hear me now, the resurrection of Christ is what permitted His mercy to be executed. Because God could not stoop to man without the resurrection, the finishing payment of Calvary. Man fell. Hear me carefully. Man fell. Let me say this. Calvary was not necessary in the justice of God for His love. God loved man before Calvary. God had grace toward man before Calvary. And God had compassion on man before Calvary. But it was not until the cross and the resurrection that the holiness and righteousness of God was satisfied so that God could reach down and save man because of His righteousness. Let me see if I can in some way act this out. I may want this microphone right here also to my left right here in a few minutes. Man fell. I don't like the term fell. We use it. He didn't fall. He chose to sin. But the whole human race fell. Are you listening? Fell into sin. That's all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's none righteous, no, not one. The best man in this room this morning is at best a man. And all of us are sinners. And all of us are under the condemnation of sin. And God, through His mercy, made possible by His resurrection, has designed a plan. And this is it. Man fell. And here's fallen man. And God's compassion says, let me go to him. Compassion says to truth, truth, man is fallen. May I please go to him? And truth says, yes, compassion, you may go to him. Then love says, man is fallen. Truth, would you let me please go see him? I love him. And truth says, you can go to him, see him, love. And grace comes and says, could I go see man? He's fallen. And truth says, certainly, you may go see man. But mercy comes, hear me, mercy comes, and mercy says, man is fallen. Truth, could I go to him? And truth says, no, you can't go to him. Where love could go, and where compassion could go, and where grace could go, mercy could not go. And so, mercy says to truth, why can't I go? And truth says to mercy, I must be satisfied first. I am holy and just and righteous. Man is sinful. Man must have his sin paid for. And that's why joining a church, I don't care what church it is, won't get you to heaven. That doesn't pay the penalty for sin. I don't care how many times you get baptized and how many baptistries, that won't get you to heaven because that won't pay for your sin. And truth blocks the door, as did the cherubim with the flaming sword going around and around in the Garden of Eden, blocked the re-entrance to the tree of life. And so truth says, you can't do it. But you say, I'll live a good life, but that doesn't pay for your past sin. But I'll take communion, that doesn't pay for your past sin. But I'll join a church, that doesn't pay for your past sin. Every man and woman and boy and girl in this room this morning is in debt to God. And though God's love can get through to see you, and God's compassion can get through to see you, and God's grace can get through to see you, mercy cannot get through. Why? Because truth says to mercy, you come to help, and you can't help till the sin debt is paid for. And mercy says, what will it take? And truth says, it'll take the payment for sin. And mercy says, is there anybody can pay that? And truth says, yes, there's one. He's the one who's never sinned. And he who's never sinned is available, and his payment would be acceptable to me. And mercy says, what is that one? And he says, that one is Jesus. And Jesus, who has not sinned, can make the penalty and payment for the sin of fallen man. And mercy says, well, if that could be possible, could I get through to him? Could I bend to him? Could I bow to him? Could I stoop to him? And truth says, that's the only way, mercy, you'll ever get to fallen man. Mercy went to compassion. And mercy said to compassion, what do you think about that? And compassion said, it's okay with me. It's okay with love. And mercy went to love and told him this plan and said to love, what do you think about it? And God's love said, it's fine with me. It's okay with grace. And mercy went to grace and said, what do you think about this plan of Jesus Christ becoming the payment for sin? And grace said, I love it. Amazing grace said, I love it. And God's compassion, which hurt with man, and God's love that longed for man, and God's grace that made the provision for man, gave permission. And then what happened? Then came the virgin birth. Now follow me carefully. God's love was already to man. And God's compassion was to man. And God's, are you listening? And God's grace was to man. But God's mercy couldn't get to him because mercy bends down where he is. And God could not bend down where man was until God's justice and truth and righteousness had been satisfied, which means though love abounded and grace abounded and compassion abounded, mercy said, I've got to keep this on me. I've got to get to him. I love him. I've got to get to him. And grace said, get up. You can't bow yet. And mercy said, let me at him. I want to help him. I want to save him. And truth said, get up. You can't get to him yet. And so there was a virgin birth. And there was a sinless life. And there was a substitutionary death where Jesus went to Calvary. Are you listening? And paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. He said, it is finished. He dipped his own soul in the torments of the damned and paid the price for our sin. He went to the grave and for 72 hours he was in the heart of the earth. And after 72 hours, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor, the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign.
And truth came to Mercy and said, Mercy, I got some good news for you. Mercy said, what is it? What is it? What is it? Can I get to him? Love got to him. And compassion got to him. And grace got to him. But what is the good news? And truth said, the price has been paid. Jesus has died, been buried, and risen again. Has risen again.
And Mercy was so happy. He grabbed truth and kissed him. Psalm 85:10 says, he grabbed him and kissed him. And now that truth has been satisfied on Calvary, I can stand behind a pulpit like this and say to thousands of people across this great audience, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my soul found liberty. Where? At Calvary. At Calvary. At Calvary, the burial, the death, the burial and resurrection of our living Lord made possible the execution of mercy. Now, mercy comes. A little louder, please. Mercy comes and says, I've always wanted to get to you. And love said, I got to him but couldn't help him. And compassion said, I got to him, mercy, but couldn't help him. And grace said, I gave permission for help, but nobody, but couldn't help him. And mercy said, I've been wanting to help him because I wanted to bend down and I wanted to go down in the depths of sin and I wanted to reach down to fallen man. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. By his wonderful grace and mercy, he lifted me. But he could not have done so had it not been for the resurrection, which was the last payment of Calvary. And now this morning I can stand to you and say, ladies and gentlemen, God can bend to you. Did you know had there been no Calvary, God could not have condescended to come and speak to you personally? Had there been no Calvary, God could not have fellowshipped with you and you could not have talked to God? And I talked to God, and you talked to God this morning for one reason, and one reason only, by His mercy. You did not rise to talk to God. He descended to talk to you. You did not soar to the heavens to fellowship with God. He came to the earth to fellowship with you. Now you listen to me, and you hear me carefully. You may never again walk inside a building where you hear a gospel preacher preach. You may never again in all your life walk inside a building where the grace of God and the mercy of God was explained to you again. You may never again walk into a place where a preacher stands up with a fervent, sincere heart and tells you of the great plan of Almighty God. But one time in your life you heard it. One time in your life somebody told you that you were a sinner and thank God because of your sins, compassion got to you and love got to you and grace got to you, but mercy couldn't get to you. But Jesus went to the cross and paid the penalty and rose again. And for his resurrection now, the door is open and truth says, mercy, come on in. And I don't care how good you are, how many times you've been baptized, how many times you've taken communion, how many times you've had a Eucharist under your tongue, or how many times you've been joined to church, or how many good deeds you've done. You will never walk the streets of glory. You will never know what it is to be a child of God and be redeemed and live in heaven forever until you come to the place in your life to where you say, I know I'm a sinner. And God, thank you for your compassion that made you want me. And thank you for your love that sent Jesus to me. And thank you for the grace that conceived the plan and designed the plan. And thank you for your mercy made possible by the resurrection of Christ, which is nothing more than the last payment of Calvary, so that now mercy, God can bend, and God bending is mercy. And God bends this morning because of His mercy, made possible by His resurrection, and says to you, I'd like for you to be my child. I'd like for you to receive me as your Savior and go to heaven when you die. If anybody tells you you can go to heaven because you joined a church or a denomination, he told you a farce, a lie. If anybody told you that you can go to heaven because you get baptized or because you've been confirmed or because you've been to confession or because you joined a Baptist church, he told you a lie. Brother, there's no way that God Almighty could bend to you until his truth and justice was satisfied. Now you say, what can I do? the same thing that man did who was on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was beaten, left for half dead. What did he do? he just said, do it. Do it. And this fellow came to him and had compassion, got off his own beast, went where he was. That's mercy. He poured an oil and wine, bound him up, took him to an inn, said, take care of him. I'll come back and pay you what I owe you. Take good care of him. And all that man could do was to yield. Now listen carefully, I'm through. You are going to have to come to the day in your life to where you just strip Baptist off your salvation and any other denominational tag off your salvation. And where you strip the baptistry and the communion table totally off your salvation. For your salvation, hear me now, your salvation is a direct confrontation between you and your God. And that confrontation is not made possible because you're so good that you ascended. It is made possible because God is so gracious that He descended. And His right to descend was caused by Calvary. So what does it mean? It means that someday, if you ever go to heaven, you've got to come to the place in your life where you forget your denomination, forget your baptistry, forget your communion, forget your good works, forget your good deeds, and you've got to come face to face with the living God and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you had compassion until that compassion turned to love. And that love turned to grace. And that grace turned to mercy. And I know you stooped to Calvary. And dear God, I here and now in this moment receive personally Jesus Christ into my heart and trust Him as my hope for heaven. If you do that and nothing else and mean it, you'll go to heaven when you die. If you do everything else and not that, you'll die and go to hell someday. Mercy there was great and grace was free. No wonder the psalmist said, praise the God of gods. And then he said, His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord of lords. And he got all excited. And His mercy endureth forever. Praise the King of kings. And His mercy endureth forever. And after every sentence, he would just shout, His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And God does not come to you this morning just with compassion, though He comes with that. He looks at you, if you've never taken time to personally receive Jesus Christ into your heart, He comes this morning with compassion because He suffers with you. And He comes this morning with love because He wants you as His own. He comes this morning with grace because He permitted, grace permitted, the plan of Christ. But that which comes and condescends and descends to you is called mercy. God bent. God stooped. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If President Reagan came to your house today and knocked on the door and said, could I talk to you a few minutes? He'd do all the talking because you'd do all the thinking. But you'd be amazed that he would come to your house, the God who made Mr. Reagan and Mr. Mondale. That God comes to you personally this morning and says, would you take me as your Savior? I've made it possible. Because of my grace, I can now extend mercy. And if you right now, in the sincerity of your heart, would say, dear Jesus, I see it now. I'm a sinner. You loved me. But you couldn't save me till mercy could be in operation. And mercy had to await the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And on the basis that you died and was buried and rose again for my justification, this moment, I accept you as my Savior. That moment, mercy becomes valid in your life. And His mercy endureth forever. Our Heavenly Father.